Hi, I'm Danette May, and today on Manifestival, I am chatting with one of my dearest friends, Nairi Hannah Geary. And today, we could talk about a lot of things, but today we talk about the sexual trauma she's been through and how it started at age 8 and how she's navigated it to become an empowered woman at 46 and beyond. And what does empowerment actually even mean? Welcome to Manifestival, where you'll receive profound breakthroughs, courage to break old patterns, and live into your soul's purpose. Each week, I will bring you epic guests, live coaching, and manifestation tools to remind you of your power. You have the ability to achieve extraordinary things, and the time to start is now. Nairi is an avid reader and student for life. She is not afraid of change and always ready to take on the next project that interests her. She currently oversees the finances in multiple internet marketing companies run by her and her partner. In her early 20s, Nairi was a realtor and is now an investor in real estate and other companies. She also provides home and business loans. Nairi's greatest interests are in communication, relationships, and sexuality. Her goal in life is to inspire people to speak and live in their truth and to be their true, authentic self unapologetically. Let's dive in. Welcome, Nairi.
You hear me say this all the time. Do not underestimate the power of protein. Protein is your friend, especially if you're over 35 or older. And I try to get protein in every single meal. Plus my athletic daughters, I try to make sure they're getting clean protein in every single meal. If you want to release fat and tone up, a breakfast that's high in lean protein is the best way to set your body up for success. And believe me, I get it. There's not always time to cook breakfast for yourself. My mornings get hectic too. But what I've been doing is I've been using Roots protein powder. So I'm very particular about what I put in my body, and that's why I love Roots, because it is all approved. It has no added sugar, nothing artificial, no GMOs, all the things I look for. And even my daughter that's in college is asking me to send her some Roots protein. It's a game changer because not only does it have all the nutrient dense qualities that I look for, but it tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So I can add it to smoothies. I can add it to some of my baking things and it tastes super good. But what I also love about Roots protein is it has greens in it. Yes, I said greens. You won't taste them. Electrolytes and other superfoods. It's pretty cool. And for a limited time, Roots is giving my listeners here on this podcast a chance to try it for yourself for up to 50% off. You're going to love this stuff. So how you get up to 50% off is you go to try.rootsnutrition.com/Danette. I'm going to spell this out for you. I'll also put the link in the show notes below, but let me spell this out because Roots is spelled a little different. Try, T-R-Y dot Roots, R-O-O-T-Z, nutrition, N-U-T-R-I-T-I-O-N .com/Danette. Danette is spelled D-A-N-E-T-T-E. So I'm going to read that one more time. try.rootsnutrition.com/Danette to get a whopping up to 50% off Roots protein and all of their products. How cool is this? So I can't wait for you guys to try it.
I am so excited to drop in with you. As everybody now knows, we're deep friends. We've been friends. I want to tell the story because this is going to be different than any other podcast in the fact that how did we meet? And where were we? Because I think it's a funny story and we tell everybody else that are in our inner circle, but the podcast family gets to hear it too. So where were we? Do you tell your side of it? And also,
do you want me to tell the whole story?
Well, you can, I don't know. just the part where we met.
Well, we were in San Diego. We were there for an internet marketing event and we were renting a house. And I remember I was sitting on the floor, looking at me or doing my makeup, and you walked in and we were like, hi. And it was just so instant between us.
Yeah.
And then you didn't have a
costume.
And I was like,
it was a Halloween party, kind of. I didn't have a costume. So she's like, I'll dress you. I have extra.
Yeah.
And so pulled out very skimpy Halloween costume options. And I was like, this is the girl that had not worn anything above her knees and not like wore a tank top at this point. I grew up very religious. And I was like, oh, okay. And you're like, oh, it looks great.
Yes.
Wear that. And then your outfit was very inappropriate. Just kidding.
Always.
But I think what I remember, because I have this ability, like when I meet people, I don't know if I meet them because it's like a hi or it's like an exchange of, when I say meet, it's like when we actually talk, when we actually like connect. And I remember being in the sauna with you. So the next day we go to the, like a gym to work out and we're in the sauna together. Do you want to share any? Sure. And I was like, I'm so glad it's dark in here and that I'm naturally can be sweating and I won't be called out, because Nairi started talking about.
I was talking about threesomes. And of course, if anyone who knows me knows that I have no filter.
No filter.
Yeah. So I was talking to you about threesomes, even though I'd just known you for 24 hours at that point.
Totally. She was sharing your vulnerability about threesomes.
Yeah.
And the thing is that girl sitting in the sauna that day had never had anyone say threesomes out of their mouth to her, enter my ears. So I was like, oh, we're going here. Like, this is the conversation. And I just was like shrinking inside and everything. And you were just talking and sharing. And I just sat there and was like, I've never had anyone talk to me about this.
This is what I talk about, you know, when I'm having coffee or whatever, when I meet someone for the first time.
Totally. Totally. But that was the start of our relationship. And I remember thinking, this girl is free. Like, and as time grew on, I want to share this reflection of what I feel for you and the fact that you've always been this space of, yeah, I might have been like this when I first met you, like jumping every time you mentioned something, because I was like, I've never heard that before. I've never heard a woman talk like that. I've never heard this. But you always were this sense of freedom, of this idea of I'm going to be who I am, and really taking to heart this idea, because we've heard this before, what other people think of you is none of your business, but I feel you live it. Like, you truly try to live that, and not in a way of, because I've met girls that are like, I don't give two F's, you know, and I don't care, but I can tell they actually do. They're just saying it because we want to be that person. But you actually really, from a loving place, are like, this is just who I am. And I'm not trying to trigger you. I'm not trying to excite you. This is just who I am.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say things to shock the person.
Yeah.
But it's just sharing my thoughts.
Yeah, your
who
thoughts.
I am. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've really valued that over the years.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been really incredible. And I feel like I'm starting to understand more layers to you and the depth of who you are, because you're also somebody who is very, very loving and will see anybody and who they are and just love them. They don't have to be something. They don't have to dress a certain way. They don't have to believe a certain thing. You really, truly just love it. It's really a rare gift that I don't think a lot of people embody a lot. And that's something that's kind of feels very natural coming from you. And then I heard you talk, and I want to share openly on here. And I'm wondering if this love and this truth comes from some of your pain, from your past, because you've seen things, you've experienced things. And I'm wondering if that's created this sense of, you know what, I'm just going to choose to love because I've been through it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure where it started, but I've realized for me, I understand where people are coming from, even when they do something wrong. Not that it makes it okay, but I understand why.
Why they did it?
Why they did it. Because they're in pain or they need to learn a lesson. So that's why. And I mean, even with myself, I've been molested and raped. It's not okay, but I understand why it happened. But that's why I feel that we need to talk about it and educate people, just if we can change this a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, we're going to go there, because that was a little bit, I mean, I can go so many realms with you and talk about a lot of different things because you're an entrepreneur. You know a lot about different sex things that we could talk about and intimacy, which maybe we bring you on for that because that's kind of fun. You're really an expert in a lot of that and self-development. And also, I feel like you are this voice around sexual trauma. Is that the right word? Or sexual experiences that you didn't ask for. And taking the lesson and being a voice for it. And I think that's my intention for today, is that there are a lot of people listening to this, even though the conversation might make some people uncomfortable. It's truth serum, and we need to open it up that people can feel comfortable to have these type of conversations and to share maybe their experience and become free. Because I've noticed a lot of women that do, they notice a difference in their bodies, their relationships, their self-worth, all that. So do you mind just kind of sharing when you had your first experience where when you were younger and what happened?
Mm-hmm. I was 8 years old. And at the time, my best friend lived across the street from me. And her uncle, when he would visit, what I didn't realize is he was grooming me. I didn't even know what grooming was.
Oh, can you describe grooming?
Well, he was just slowly, we'll hang out and he'll tell me how I'm very special.
Like make you feel like trust. And
yes,
like
building that trust slowly before he did anything. And then for 3 years, every time he would visit and he gets a chance, because he was the one that would watch us while the
parents went out or whatever.
Parents went out because everybody trusted him. And
was he very charismatic?
He was very charismatic. So he would tell my best friend to go do something, the laundry, go do the dishes or whatever it was. Because she was used to doing chores at young age.
Yeah.
And then he would touch me, but he would always tell me, this is what adults do, but you're so special that you get to have a head start.
Wow.
But he made sure he told me, this is what adults do. So I felt really special. And he gave me candy too. My parents didn't give us candy.
So he would give you candy after?
Yes. So before. I have a reward. I'm being told I'm special. I get a reward. I know this is something I will be doing later, but I'm getting a head start.
Wow.
But I didn't even know what was going on because I grew up in Iraq and they don't even have kissing on TV. So I have no idea what's happening. No one talks about sex. You don't have sex till you get married.
And there's no display on TV of intimacy like that. So you're just like, I don't know what's happening.
I had no idea until I moved to the US.
Did your body say anything to you or no? Was your body showing any signs at that time? Or was it just like,
I honestly can't recall it that because it's just I didn't associate it with something bad. Mm-hmm. He made me feel special. And then I moved to the US. I'm watching one of those like Lifetime movies. And I was like,
USA.
Oh my God, I was molested.
Really? That's when it hit you.
That's when I learned. I was 15.
You were 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did that make you feel? Do you remember what you felt when you saw that or realized that? Or
it was more like a violation of, wait a second. It wasn't that I was special. This is not something you do to a kid. So it just didn't feel good. But if I may share something too that for a long time I felt very guilty about and I talked to my therapist about this, I actually used to self-pleasure thinking about what happened to me. And I always thought I was the only one that did that until I talked to other people and some said they've done the same thing and they feel so much
guilt.
Shame and guilt around self-pleasuring thinking about that.
Oh, but this is it's a child memory.
Yeah.
And that's, it's common potentially.
I don't know how common it is. It's just I didn't have an association of it being bad at the time.
Wow. I think that's going to free someone up. That's just heard that.
Yeah.
And there's no shame. There's no reason to have any shame around it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, you can't control how you feel or your thoughts. I mean, I don't feel that way at all anymore. But yeah, but I had to do a lot of work.
Yeah, because you had more than just that incident. You had little minor moments. You mentioned something to me. I think you're okay sharing it here and just tell me to pass on something that happened in the airport. Like it's almost like an energy is on you then. And predators can pick up on that or like people that want to.
Mm-hmm.
I've had friends tell me, they'll be like, I was on a train or I was here. And I'm like, how do these men know? And they're like, they must just know that this might have happened to me energetically. They can feel it and I'm a target.
Yeah.
So curious what happened.
This is again in Iraq. We're at the airport with my family. My uncle's coming to visit. His flight is delayed. So the whole family's there. We're all hanging out at the airport. And then me and my cousin went to play with the elevator. We're going up and down, up and down. And then he was done. We're little. I think we were maybe 10 at this point, around that age. And then I wanted to still keep playing. And then I was like, I'm going to do it one more time. And then I'll come like join you guys. And then a man got in the elevator. And these are like slow elevators. They're
right.
Old school.
The old school slow elevators.
Yeah. And we're alone. And somehow he takes his private out and then he touches me. And that was it. That was the end of it. Oh. Yeah. It was just something quick. And he did that. And
then as a little girl, do you think that as little girls, when this happens, we kind of just put it inside. Like we don't.
I think I was more like shocked, like what just happened.
Like a deer in headlights almost.
Yeah. Because the other person prepped me and told me I'm special. This is just happening with.
What's happening?
No conversation around
it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's very confusing. Mm-hmm. And then there, I had another one where we were playing outside and it was getting dark and it was, we were playing hide and seek and this man was just walking. He's like, what are you doing? Like, we're playing hide and seek. And then he like was pretending like he's playing, helping me hide, but then he starts touching me. And so it's just, even though I came from an incredible family, but those situations are hard to control.
Yeah, I think it's so honestly so empowering that you're sharing this because, and I appreciate your, I know that you've done so much work around this and we'll get to
years.
It. Yeah, years and years. And that's why you can sit in your power and talk about it. But I'm like, how many women have just never shared because of shame or maybe a story or, and that's what my big intention with having you on is that hopefully you can have someone go, oh, this isn't something that made me because I was a bad person or I had a bad family or I was in the wrong place at the wrong, you know, wrong time. No, like this can happen playing hide and seek. This can happen being in an elevator with a stranger, riding on a train. I mean, all the different ways that this can happen.
To anyone.
Yeah.
And I think we need to talk about this because a lot of times I've talked to so many, well, it happens to men too.
Yeah, I've now heard a lot
but especially with women, they in their friend group, they don't want to talk about it because they feel they're the only one that it's happened to. And I'm like, I can guarantee you, you're not the only one. And so when I started talking about it on social, I had people reach out to me that they said they've never told a soul. These are like, we're talking about speakers, authors, people you look up to and you say they have the perfect life. There's no way this has happened to them, but it can happen to anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah.
And I think that's, and it most likely, I remember the stat, we were, there's statistics on it, but where it really hit home is at the Rise event. I think you were there, mm-hmm. were you at the Rise event, yeah?
Yep.
And there was about 1,000 women there. And one of the speakers asked everyone who'd maybe had been a recipient of this type of stuff, stand up. And it was like 1 out of 3. Like it was, I think it was very freeing.
It was a lot of people.
It was a lot of people that stood up.
Yeah. Because then the question also was asked, and do you know anyone that it's happened to? Pretty much the whole room
ended up standing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Let me ask you, because now you've done a lot of work around this. First, before you started doing the work around this, how do you think it impacted you as a young adult, like in your 20s? As not really talking about, not really looking at it, but how do you think it impacted you?
So now I know how it impacted me. It made me not trust the masculine. And with that came that I'm going to be independent. I'm not going to rely on the masculine. I always need to make sure that financially I'm taken care of where I can have a way out. And I also realized that every time I was in a relationship, I always had one foot just out a little bit as protection. So I never fully surrendered into a relationship.
You would say that today almost.
Yeah, I'm realizing it like even this past year. It You're was like, very whoa. Clear that I still didn't surrender all the way because I didn't trust the masculine. But I'm ready to trust it now. And I'm 46. This is years of work.
Okay, so someone listening is going to say, what did you do for work? I mean, I know that's loaded because you've done a lot, mm-hmm. a lot of stuff. But if you were, let's just imagine this woman right now who hasn't really told anyone. Maybe she's told one friend and some, most of them, none. They're just like holding this in, but they're like, I can relate to Nairi right now. What would be a maybe a first or second or third thing that they could maybe step into that you did to start that healing process? Yeah.
I remember around 1920, I was very openly talking about it. I was, at the time, I was an exotic dancer. So I'm around girls. We talk about everything.
Well, and probably they all had experiences, right?
So many.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then when you talk about it, it takes the power away. Then you realize, oh my God, I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one. And then it really does help. To know you're not the only one. Yeah. Then after that, it's retreats. I mean, going to your retreat, I can't remember how long ago it was where...
Oh, the first one in Costa Rica?
Yes.
We did a relationship retreat, but she ended up having a relationship retreat with herself almost too.
Like yeah, I had experience. Such a release. I didn't realize that I still had a lot of healing to do because I remember an energy worker working on me and she goes, I bet you never allow a masculine to give you an orgasm.
Was that true at that time?
At first I said, no, that's not true. And then I thought about it and I was like, oh my God, I didn't. I would finish myself off.
Interesting. It was to
again,
that
didn't
point.
Trust it.
Wow.
No, you can't do this. I'm going to do it.
I'm in control of this.
Yeah.
This pleasure.
Uh-huh. So it wasn't until I was 41, I started having orgasms with my partners.
Wow. This is 41. So powerful. This is so powerful. What else did you do? So you went to thank you for saying that about the healing retreats. It's really some of my greatest work I get to do. So thank you for saying that. But what else have you done that you think would be helpful for someone listening? One, knowing they're not alone. Two, going and doing healing journeys, having a healing journey that dedicated to looking at these things that you've kind of stuffed down or hidden down. Anything else?
Well, again, another one that was through your retreat, though, too. I wrote a forgiveness letter to my first abuser.
You did?
Because he was the big one, the 3 years.
Yeah.
And I just said, I will not forget, but I understand why this happened. You were sexually repressed. That's why you did this. Because as soon as he got married, he stopped. And again, you can't, in Iraq, you can't have sex till you get married. And again, it doesn't make it okay, but I understand why it happened. So I wrote the letter and then we had a fire ceremony and burnt the letters.
And that was like kind of starting to move those cords and that energy away
from
it.
For sure. And I had to do that multiple times.
Right.
To release, you know. It's not overnight. Journaling, knowing like it's okay. Like I'm in control now. I'm not that little girl. I can follow my intuition now. Or maybe try not to put myself in situations like that. Not that, again.
You can be anywhere.
You can be anywhere. Exactly.
I think that as, you know, I mentioned this in a coaching session in premium coaching once, but I want to mention it here on the podcast. There's a lot of the study about, you know, animals. And there are certain animals that honestly, even though they're not being attacked and like another animal's not on their neck or on their leg, they can sense a predator. Right? And they'll literally freeze because their soul, their instinct knows the predator's coming and they'll pretend dead. And as humans, we can do that. We can feel a predator, even though it might come in candy, it might come in compliments. And there's a freezing. There's almost like a deer in headlights. And it doesn't mean that you allowed. It doesn't mean that you should feel guilt or shame. It's kind of sometimes a defense mechanism of just allowing and sometimes participating. Like as that animal is dragging that pretend, like he pretends to be dead, he's still dragging him. He's still a participant. He's not fighting back. It's survival. And it's okay. I've watched you now be this really empowered woman. And I want to say empowered because I think sometimes women think, oh, Jeanette's saying Nairi's empowered. She's this boss babe. She goes after things. She works hard. When I say you as empowered, yes, you're that, but you're also softening. Yes, you're also like surrendering more. You are stepping into journaling and taking time to really look at your feelings and do that. To me, that's empowerment personally. And
I agree.
So let me know and let everybody else know, what are you doing for empowerment for you to be all that you're stepping into because you're just getting started?
Well, definitely learning that I don't have to be in control. But again, the control came from the sexual abuse.
Yeah.
Because before, it's learning to delegate now. I had to be in control. I had to do everything.
And it showed up in work, probably.
It showed up in work. And I got overwhelmed and it affected my health. But it took several times for it to affect my health for me to finally take it seriously. I was like, I'm going to have an early grave if I continue this way. And this is not worth it. I really need to release control and I need to heal. So that's been huge for me.
Wow. Letting go. Do you have any practices that you do each day that has really helped support you in that surrender?
Well, before my old self, I would wake up in the morning and open my computer right away.
I remember that old self.
Yeah.
Like she works a lot.
Yeah. And now just I wake up and I listen to a mantra. I light incense. I journal. And I just take time to sit in my thoughts. And I love walking and hiking. So I go on walks and hikes and just fuel myself with like listen to podcasts, like your podcast, and just listen to positive things, you know?
So good.
I love it. It feels so, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot. And I really commend you on this journey and for your voice. So Nairi is sharing a lot about this kind of stuff on her social. So I'm going to link everything below. But I really love your openness and who you've shown for me and also what you're doing for a lot of women and men to say, hey, we don't have to hide behind our stories. Mm-hmm. And to just share vulnerably, it doesn't mean that's who you are. It just means This was a sentence in this whole book of my life, and to continue to grow and to see what life keeps bringing. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One last question.
Mm-hmm.
You're standing in front of millions and millions of people. It's your last thing you can actually say, and then you're off this planet. What's the one word or sentence you would say?
This is my thing. Be your true, authentic self. And that way you will inspire others to be themselves too.
Ooh,
yeah.
Be your true, authentic self, and you'll inspire others to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Nairi, for being on the Manifestable podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys, all for listening. And please share this out if you feel that there's been someone in your life or someone could hear this that just needs to know that they're not alone. That's very, very important that we are advocates for one another. No shame, no blame, just advocates of saying, hey, you're not alone. So thanks, everyone. I know today's topic could have felt a little heavy for some of you. I wanted to go there. You guys heard my intention, but it's important that we have these really honest conversations. Whether you've been sexually assaulted or abused or have had any of that type of trauma, you most likely have somebody that you know who has. And I think it's important that we understand why people are the way they are, what wounding they might have had, so that it doesn't define who you are. So I'm grateful that you were willing to listen to this episode. It means the world to me that we can have these honest things and these conversations here on Manifestable. Thank you for following. Thank you for sharing this episode out and leaving an honest review. It means the world to me, and I'll see you on the next episode.
Have you ever taken time to read the back of an ibuprofen bottle? It's pretty mind-blowing that anyone still takes that stuff. It says right there on the bottle that the risks of it include heart disease, blood clots, strokes, and kidney failure. I'd rather find a safer way, more natural way to ease my body. Besides that, ibuprofen is only masking the pain and it's downright dangerous, especially for older adults. Since the root of most pain is caused by inflammation, I'd much rather turn to a super nutrient like omega-3 fatty acids that do more than just ease inflammation. They help prevent it altogether. So there is something that actually does this. It's high quality krill oil. It is not farm raised, which is good. I wouldn't settle for anything else than wild caught krill for my omega-3s as I would the fish that I actually ingest. So Native Pass omega-3s are sourced from some of the deepest, chilliest waters of the Antarctic Ocean, making them free of heavy metals like mercury, unlike regular fish oil. And Native Pass krill oil contains astaxanthin, one of the most powerful antioxidants found in nature. I don't know if you knew this, but astaxanthin is 550 times stronger than vitamin E, 800 times more powerful than CoQ10, and 6,000 times more potent than vitamin C. Pretty cool. Native Pass krill oil is formulated to be the most bioavailable, which means it's more quickly and easily absorbed in the body and goes right to work, so you'll get all the benefits and results quickly. Right now, Native Path is giving you, my listener, a crazy good deal, as low as $19 a bottle. So go check out this special offer at getnativepath.com/Danette. I'm going to actually spell this out for you, but the best part is, aside from helping keep inflammation at bay, omega-3 content from krill oil has been shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, swelling, and joint pain. It can outperform ibuprofen, Advil, Tylenol, and it doesn't have the dangerous side effects either. So for a limited time, Native Pass Antarctic Krill Oil is giving it to these to you, the listener here on this show, as low as $19 a bottle. So you're going to go to getnativepath.com/Danette. So let me spell that. Get Native, G-E-T, Native, N-A-T-I-V-E, Path, PATH.com/Danette. DANETTE to get your special offer for being a Manifestable listener. This is while supplies last. So if you feel swollen or you have achy joints and you just want to feel better right away, go ahead and get yourself some Native krill oil. How cool is that? Love you guys.